Well, good morning. It's great to be with you in this service. And as Roxanne said, we're going to take some time now to really focus on our theme for Easter, which is regeneration. And this theme has been inspired by the bushfire regeneration that we see, well, whenever there's a bushfire. And in particular, the pink flannel flowers that are now appearing all up and down the eastern seaboard of Australia. These flowers only appear a year after there has been fire and flood. Their very presence a year later reminds us of the disaster that took place a year before. We're about a year after we had to move online, a year after we first went into lockdown. And I think for many of us over the last year, we've been managing the crisis. We've been answering the questions, what do I need to do now? And whether that's trying to figure out how to work from home or how to work from home and a little bit in the office or how to get our kids online or how to rearrange holiday plans or how to run a church. All of these questions have been about management. What do we need to do now? And that's always appropriate in the middle of a crisis. But it feels to me that while we're not completely out of the woods yet, there is an element where we need to take some time now to do slightly different work. And instead of asking, what do we need to do, to ask, how has this felt? How does this feel? And to do some of the heart work that I think that we require after we've come through such a tough year. I don't know about you, but I regularly hear stories and even reflect in my own life about the uncertainty, the anxiety, the difficulty of this last year. And so what we want to do over the time that's remaining to us in this service is essentially take some time to reflect, to do some of that heart work and ask that the Holy Spirit might begin the work of regeneration in us. This is important for us, I think, because of what we've been through, but particularly as we head into Easter, the opportunity to reflect on the resurrection of Jesus, the hope that we have in him, and the regeneration that that promises for us. So there's not going to be a sermon per se, and we're not going to have any other sung worship. But what I want to do is reflect briefly, kind of on four different occasions, on the story of the children of Israel as they stood on the plains of Moab. This is at the end of the 40 years that they had spent in the wilderness. They were about to cross over into the promised land. And yet in that space, they had lost a great deal. Over those 40 years. They were not the same people who had left Egypt. They had also failed in their relationship with God. They stood on the shores of the Jordan River, on the plains of Moab, as a forgiven people. And there were things that they had to be thankful for, provision and blessing and protection that they knew that God had provided for them. And at the end of all of that, they still had the invitation, which was to cross into the promised land and step into all the promises that God had for them. And so essentially what I want to do over the next little while is lead you through those four reflections, to take some time to reflect on what the people of Israel had lost, and then allow you some time and space to reflect on your disappointments, on your loss, on your grief over this last year, to bring those things before the Lord, and then to pray. And then I want to reflect on the ways in which we perhaps have not been as trusting in God's promises as we perhaps should have been. Places and times when we've perhaps been unforgiving or where we have allowed bitterness to seep into our lives and to bring those before him. And that's when we'll celebrate communion in the midst of that. And then to reflect on the things that we perhaps have gained over this last year. It hasn't been all bad. There are examples of God's provision, his grace, his protection, his blessing that we need to name as well. And then finally, to reflect a little bit on what our next faithful step might be as individuals and as a community of faith. This is what we want to do over this next period of time. There'll be a number of blocks of time, a little bit longer than we might normally give you in these services, probably about 5 minutes each, for you to reflect. And I really want to encourage you to take as much of that time as you can. You may need more time as well. Some of you may have taken the opportunity to do part of or all of the discipleship menu that was prepared in the lead up to this Sunday. That's still available on our website. It has the same kinds of questions that we want to reflect on in this service, some passages to consider, some devotional text to read, and some other things as well. So you might want to take that up in the week to come if this is particularly helpful for you. So before we launch into the first reflection, would you allow me to pray for us in our circumstances, in our living rooms and lounge rooms, kitchens, decks, bedrooms, wherever we might find ourselves, and that we might commit this next period of time as we gather together into the hands of God and ask that His Holy Spirit might truly begin the work of regeneration in us. So would you please join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, we come to you at the end of what's been a pretty hectic year. We know that we're not yet out of it as well. There's still a fair amount of uncertainty about how this year is going to unfold. There's still a fair amount of anxiety about what will happen next. And while we are thankful that we are seemingly getting closer to the end, we also recognize that perhaps it's time for us to turn our attention to our hearts. We thank you for the blessings that you have given to us and ask that in this space you might bless us with your presence. And I ask that as we reflect on the things that we have lost and the ways in which perhaps we have not been trusting, in the ways in which you have provided for us and in the invitation to us, that by your Spirit you would be moving in our hearts, using this time, and that we would bear fruit in our lives as a result of your work. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I said I wanted to reflect a little bit on the story of the people of Israel. It would take too long to read the whole story. We'd have to start in Exodus and kind of work our way all the way through Deuteronomy. So I'll avoid that. But let me give you kind of the summary statement. And this is the passage that I turned to when I first began to think about regeneration and the kind of the work of the heart. I reflected on who in Scripture had gone through a long period of transition where the world was completely upside down. And the people of Israel seemed like a pretty good group to consider. So let me read these opening words from Deuteronomy chapter 1. These are the words Moses spoke to all Israel in the wilderness east of the Jordan, that is, in the Arabah, opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab. It takes 11 days to go from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by the Mount Seir road. In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses proclaimed to the Israelites all that the Lord had commanded him concerning them. This was after he had defeated Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, and at Edrei had defeated Og, king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth. East of the Jordan, in the territory of Moab, Moses began to expound this law, saying, "The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, and along the coast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them.'" This sets the scene for the book of Deuteronomy, as Moses reminds them of all that God had done for them and all that they had experienced of God. But I found myself reflecting on the group that was gathered before Moses. And this group in the 40th year was the new generation. And I began to reflect on the sorts of things that the people of Israel had experienced, the changes that they had undergone since they had left Egypt 40 years earlier. And it occurred to me that they had lost so much more than the previous generation. They had actually lost their identity. I mean, they had been slaves, and while that was not a great identity, at least they knew who and what they were. They were brickmakers. They knew who they were and they had the skills to do those tasks, harsh as they may have been. But they had lost that identity. They were no longer slaves, but they were not yet the nation that would be living in the promised land. They had lost, I'm assuming, all sorts of skills, the skills of their slave trade, of the brickmaking and whatever else that they were doing. And they had gained new skills, certainly in the wilderness, but those skills would not be necessary when they were farmers. The nomadic lifestyle was completely different. As a group of people, they had lost a fair amount. They had lost their homes. They had to leave those behind. And again, you'd like to think that when they reflected on their past, that they didn't long for those homes as much as we sometimes think they did. But they had exchanged houses for tents. the certainty and stability of living in cities and towns for the instability and uncertainty of the wilderness. There was a great deal that the children of Israel had lost. Some of those things might be seen as good, some of them might have been bad. But I think it's important that we recognize that the people who stood there about to walk into the promised land had been changed by their experience. I want to know what you've lost. What disappointments do you carry with you from this last year? And in a moment, I want to give you an opportunity to reflect on those. If you're with some other people, I encourage you to, you know, have the conversation. What are the things that you've lost? What have you been disappointed in? Where have you been frustrated? Where are your disappointments? To name those things. And can I encourage you to name them all? Some of the things that we lost might have been really extraordinary. There are people in our community of faith who have lost loved ones, perhaps not through COVID, but to death nonetheless. There are people who have lost their jobs and their livelihood, quite significant. But the list of things that we missed out on last year goes long beyond that. And while they might not be the most important things in the world, while we know that they might be a little bit of a first world problem, they are losses nonetheless. Maybe that vacation that you were planning got canceled. Maybe that concert that you were hoping to go to got canceled. Maybe it was something that you were looking forward to having like more than 30 people in your house, and that got canceled. While these things may not be the most significant, they are nonetheless part of our loss over this last year. So I want to encourage you to take some time, and we're going to give you about 5 minutes, to either reflect on your own, if you are on your own, maybe write down the things that you have lost, your disappointments, your griefs. If you're with other people, why don't you have a bit of a conversation about that and name them. Name them, whether they're really significant or not. To give you a bit of an example, personally, I was disappointed when the hockey season was canceled. Not the biggest deal in the world by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a disappointment nonetheless. On a much more significant scale, I was really disappointed at the momentum that we lost as a community of faith. I really felt that at the start of 2020, we were starting to really move together as a community of faith, and then that all got put on hold and washed away. And there's all sorts of disappointments in between that. So name them all, whether they're kind of trivial or whether they're much more significant, and bring them before the Lord. If you're with other people, you might take some time just to pray quickly for each other in those disappointments. If you're on your own, really encourage you just to take a moment to pray and lift those before the Lord. And at the end of this 5 minutes, I'm going to take some time to pray for us and then lead into our second reflection. Heavenly Father, we have reflected, albeit briefly, on the things that we lost over this last year. Whether it was opportunities, whether it was income and livelihoods, whether it was loved ones in our lives, whether it was a loss of confidence, and whether they are trivial in the big scheme of things or much more significant, we want to bring all of them to you right now. We want to acknowledge that in each of these small and large disappointments, we experienced a sense of loss and grief. And there was some frustration for us, perhaps some anger at what had happened, things completely out of our control. And I want to pray on behalf of all of us who are gathered here, we might lay these things down at your feet. And to the best of our ability, we take all of those things that we lost and we give them to you, knowing that you care for us and that our disappointments, our grief, our loss are important to you. So we bring them to you now and lay them at your feet and ask that you would take that burden from us, that you would remove the weight of that loss from us, and that we would be able to turn to the next things that you have for us without dragging these burdens behind us. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The people of Israel, as they stood on the plains of Moab, were not only a changed people who had experienced loss, whether it be the loss of identity or security and stability, but they were also a group of people who stood on the plains of Moab forgiven. And that was really important because part of their journey to the promised land is also a journey of sin, of rebellion, of wickedness, and of folly. You can go all the way back to their failure to trust the Lord to provide food and water for them. You can see it in their failure to worship Him wholly and alone. You can see it in their turning against Moses and their leaders. You can see it in their response of the spies who they sent into the promised land, who failed to trust that the Lord would be faithful to His promises. In fact, went so far as to suggest that the Lord's intentions to them were in fact evil. In ways large and small, the people of Israel had failed to trust in the promises of God. They had failed to live as His holy people. They had failed to be a kingdom of priests. They had failed in what what God had called them to be. I think for us as individuals and as a community of faith, it's important here, again, to pause and reflect on where we have perhaps failed, where perhaps we have failed to trust God adequately, or where we have allowed the loss of our regular Sunday routine to infiltrate and impact lots of our other discipleship routines, where we've perhaps gotten a little bit slack about following after Jesus, where we found ourselves disengaging and disengaged from a wider Christian community with all of the implications that that may have for us. We may have been harboring bitterness. We may have been harboring unforgiveness. We may have been harboring anger directed towards other people. And all of those things can end up being as big a burden as the things that we lost and the grief that we've experienced. And so again, I want to invite you to take the next 5 minutes or so and reflect. If you're with other people, I'd encourage you just to reflect personally, just to take this time to bring those things to God, to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the sorts of ways which perhaps you have not been as faithful as you could have been, and to bring those failures to the Lord. I think what's so striking about the people of Israel is that as they stood on the plains of Moab, looking over into the promised land, they didn't do so as a people condemned, but they did so as a people forgiven. In their midst, the very heart of the camp, was the tabernacle, the symbol of God's permanent presence with them. The place where sacrifices and offerings were made, a reminder of God's willingness and initiative to forgive and to graciously restore and receive them anew, to continue to remain with them until His promises had come to fruition. We bring our sins, our failures, our bitterness, our unforgiveness, we bring all that to God as forgiven people. But the act of bringing those things to Him is still important. And so during these 5 minutes as well, we're going to encourage you to take communion. If you have juice and bread with you now, take these next 5 minutes, and at some point when you are ready, take the bread and take the juice. A reminder for us of our forgiveness in Jesus Christ. His broken body, his shed blood, covering over all of our sins, enabling us to stand as forgiven. And after that 5 minutes is over, I'll again take some time to lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the forgiveness that has been extended to us in Christ Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your death and your resurrection, your sacrifice on our behalf. As we lead into Easter, when these events are front and center in our minds, we are perhaps more grateful than normal of the wonderful grace extended to us. And again, we want to lay before you and confess before you the ways in which we have failed, the ways in which we have failed to trust you, the ways in which we've failed to be faithful. We want to bring before you the sins that others have committed against us that we have not forgiven, our anger, our bitterness, our resentment. We want to bring all of those things to you, confess them to you, and lay them down at your feet once again, knowing that you will take them and remove them as far as the east is from the west, that you will completely cover over our sins and enable us to stand before you as your sons and your daughters. We thank you for the wonderful freedom we have through confession and through your forgiveness, the freedom to leave our burdens with you and continue on without fear of condemnation or guilt. So we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for the opportunity we've had to express and confess to you, and ask that we might be filled now with your peace. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The people of Israel, as they stood on the plains of Moab, overlooking the Promised Land, not only had to contend with the things that they had lost and the experiences that they had gone through, they did not only have to consider the ways in which they had been unfaithful to the Lord, but they also were able to reflect with gratitude on his provision, his blessing, his protection. And it's appropriate for us to do the same. For the people of Israel, there are a couple of areas in particular where that provision and protection and blessing was so evident. I mean, to one degree, all we have to remember is that they had been slaves in Egypt, and God had rescued them from Egypt to bring them to the Promised Land, the land that had been promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants. But more specifically, we see the provision every day of their daily bread through the provision of manna. Every morning, apart from the Sabbath, the children of Israel were able to receive the food that they needed for the day. They were led in the wilderness for those 40 years by God, and they went from oasis to oasis to oasis. And even in those few times when there was not enough water, God continually provided for them. We're told in a couple of places in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 8 and chapter 29, I believe, that their shoes had not worn out, that their clothes had not worn away in all of that time. Now, whether people actually had shoes that had lasted for 40 years and passed on from generation to generation, I'm not so sure. But the essence of that statement is that their basic needs were always provided for. They were never without. They were never those who were impoverished by their time in the wilderness. Furthermore, we have the story of Balaam, this world-famous sorcerer who the king of Moab had brought to curse the people of Israel. And one of the most fascinating things about that story, and there are many things that are fascinating, is that the people of Israel were completely and utterly unaware of what danger they were in. And it was only the intervention of God that turned that curse into a blessing that protected the people of Israel. The people of Israel stood as those who had been changed, as those who had been forgiven, and as those who had been protected and provided for, who had experienced the blessing of God. So again, I want to leave some time for you on your own or with those that you're with to reflect on what you have received in this last year. Because while we may have missed out on some things, there have been plenty of other opportunities. Whether it be more time with family members, whether it be a little bit more flexibility at work, whether it be the fact that you have maintained work and were never out of a job, perhaps the provision of JobKeeper that has helped you and your family. There may be any number of things that you might look to be thankful for and bring with gratitude to God. And so I want to encourage you to have that conversation, to have that, to think a bit about that. And then again, to pray with one another, to give thanks for the things that God has provided for you. And after 5 minutes or so, I'll be back and I'll take a time to pray for us again. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your provision, your blessing, and your grace extended to us. We thank you for the things, good, the small and large, the people, the circumstances that we can receive with gratitude from your hand. We acknowledge that in the midst of a year that was very difficult, there was also lots to be thankful for. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to open our eyes to the areas of our lives where we have received from you, and that we might indeed be filled with gratitude and thankfulness, bring those things before you, and have a sense of joy as we reflect on what you will continue to do in the future. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The people of Israel, as they stood on the plains of Moab, stood as a changed people. They stood as a forgiven people. They stood as a blessed people. But they did not stand for the sake of standing. There was still an invitation that lay before them, and that was to enter the promised land. They had not arrived when they arrived at the plains of Moab. They had not finished their journey. It was merely a significant moment in time. It was a significant space for them to acknowledge that they had never been quite that far before, and that they were about to leave the wilderness and enter into their inheritance. I think it's appropriate for us as we come to the end of this year, as we take this time in this service to reflect on the changes that we've experienced and the loss and the grief, as we've taken the time to reflect on our forgiveness and brought our confession to the Lord, as we reflected on the things that we can be grateful for, I think it's helpful to be reminded that we have not yet arrived. And I don't mean simply that we're not all the way through the implications of COVID-19, but that there is yet for us a further invitation that God has for us, that we have not come to the end of our journey now that we've come to this point. But instead, we need to turn our hearts again to God and ask Him to show us what our next faithful step is. What is He inviting you to do as individuals, as a family? What's He inviting us to do as a community of faith? And how can we take that next faithful step? I'd want to encourage you that I think part of that next faithful step would be to be part of our Easter services, the Thursday night, the Friday morning, or Easter Sunday, as we continue to reflect on this theme of regeneration, as we turn again to the hope that we have in the resurrection. That feels to me like a really important next faithful step. But there are more. What is it that God is inviting you into? And so once again, I want to encourage you to take a few minutes' time to reflect and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what your next faithful step might be, as an individual, as a family, for us as a community of faith. And then at the end of that time, I'll lead us in prayer one last time. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we're not done yet, that there is more for us, that there continues to be an invitation to participate with your renewing and restoring work in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the enabling presence of the Holy Spirit that enables us to do the work that you have sent us to do. And I pray that you might make clear to each one of us what our next faithful step is, that you might grant to us the courage to take that step, continue to experience your regeneration, your renewal, your restoration in our lives, and then step out into the world to participate with what you are doing everywhere in everyone's life that we encounter. We thank you for this opportunity to reflect, to pause, to bring this last year to you, to leave some things at your feet, to confess some things and to receive your forgiveness, to be reminded of your grace and to be filled with gratitude, and now to step into what is next. Lead us, I pray. Guide us clearly. Grant us discernment and courage, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.